This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be talking to Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society. We'll also be looking at a romantic comedy set in Adelaide, The Flip Side, and a documentary about a veteran British actor in Ian McKellen playing the part. With me now is Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society with news of a free public screening this coming Monday of China's Van Gogh. Helen, this documentary sounds very interesting. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, I certainly can, Hans, and thank you very much for asking me here again. It's lovely, always lovely coming in. As you know, we run these weekly films at the Art Gallery starting at 7:30, and this particular night we are opening it up to the public because it's part of our commemorative year for our 60th anniversary. So that's why we've it's fantastic. So that's why we've got this as an open to the public event, because you'll be aware otherwise it's a membership type system. So this documentary, produced in 2016 by a father-daughter team, interestingly, Professor Haiyibo Yu and Dr. Kienchi Kiki Yu. So this, a couple of Chinese academics and artists, they have put together this lovely, lovely piece. And we're lucky because we don't get the Documentary Edge Festival here in Christchurch. So these kind of films are fantastic. So anyway, it's set in Dafin in Shenzhen, China. This is the world's largest oil painting village, if you can believe that. And I know. So you're right. It has 10,000 people in it. They work. All they do is produce replicas of famous Western paintings.
So they're doing copies of basically Western European classic artwork.
Absolutely.
And then they go take it back to Europe and flog it off there.
Is that European galleries and collectors buy it. There's a demand for it.
So, I see.
Yeah. So you're not really flogging anything. There's a big demand. And sometimes galleries will take it because they want a copy instead of, to put it on show instead of an original. There's all sorts of things that, there's different reasons for that. But anyway, so this documentary is a fascinating look at the global replica trade. And Haiyibo and Kiki, they're quite clever. Instead of keeping it to the general, they bring it down to the intimate and they focus on one peasant turned oil painter and his work and passion for the Dutch master, Vincent van Gogh. And so we see through the documentary his love for art deepen, and then we see as emerging his inner conflict because he's torn by wanting to be authentic and express himself, and also he's caught up in this business, this mega business of replica work. And so the film, it's a foreign language film in Mandarin and English with English subtitles.
And then I gather he gets an invitation to actually go to Amsterdam.
He does indeed. Yes, he does.
And gets much closer to what it's all about.
I think it's going to be a fantastic film. We're expecting a lot of people, and we've had to fight quite hard to get the screening. We're doing it in cooperation with the Confucius Institute in Wellington, and they've given the country limited screenings, so we've got one of those.
I see. I think that's absolutely... Yeah, I'm certainly going to be there. That's this Monday, 7:30 at the Art Gallery.
Yes, that's right. We open our doors. You've been here before. We open our doors at 7. We sell mulled wine and beer for $5, home baking for $2, and people come along before and have a chat.
And I do like the, I mean, there is some question, of course, particularly from Western people about, how can they just sort of make a huge business employing 10,000 people to make, to paint copies of Western art, you know. But I imagine the film looks at this because you get that dilemma with this, and this one artist himself. He would be questioning that whole thing for the sake of the audience and to give you the overall picture of the
whole thing.
That's right.
I think that it has a lot of interesting things on a number of levels, the global art replica trade and the personal thing for this fellow,
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, and I'm just changing subject a little bit. I mean, this is also quite amazing. 60 years the Film Society has been going.
Yeah, it has. It's gone through several reincarnations, different names. And I, you know, clearly I don't know much about it at its origins, but at the moment we're thriving with, I think we've got 181 on our books, and we have an average attendance of 60 to 90. And we're just absolutely, we're doing fantastically, you know. We have every night, every week we open with an introduction, so that's kind of fun. And this particular week, because it's a short film, we're going to go over to Fiddlesticks Cafe afterwards and have a cup of coffee and a chat for those who want to talk about the film.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it's also... people can, for membership to the society, I understand now you can sort of join up basically at any time you like.
Yeah,
it's not just at the beginning of the year.
No, it's just like a gym or anything. It's a rolling membership. You can turn up on the night a wee bit early and buy a form of membership. We have different flavours of membership to suit different people's pockets. But a full membership for someone your age and my age, you know, a senior citizen or a returning member, is $122 for a year, and that works out about $3.80 a film.
That's pretty good.
It
because
is very
there's
good.
Some really excellent
it
films amongst
them. Oh, yeah,
I mean,
are.
This is I've been going to film societies since I was a teenager, just catching up on all those early films that I'd missed.
Oh, it's fantastic.
it's
there is so much
necessary.
Film. Like, New Zealand gets a tiny fragment of the film that's created every year in the world.
Yep.
And you would know that better than most people, but it's most people don't understand that. So this is the, unless you go to a film festival, you're not going to see most of this on Netflix.
Yeah, you're going to miss out on a heck of a lot. But here's one chance to catch up on something anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good. That was Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society with an invitation to a free screening this coming Monday of China's Van Gogh's. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Moorhouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz.
Have a guess who called here today. Henry Selbert.
Hi.
Well, you must have made a very good impression.
Back the truck up.
It's coming to Adelaide. Screening of his new film.
So I don't act. I just be.
You invited the man who smashed your heart to smithereens for a pajama party?
Did you sleep well?
It's a sex bruise.
Oh, so you told Jeff about him?
No. Why would I do that?
Ronnie, be careful.
Don't be so dramatic, Sam. It's fine.
Despite a lot of offbeat humour and a chaotic plot, The Flip Side is a thoughtful comedy about grown-up dilemmas set in Adelaide. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Reading Cinemas at the Palms to see this multi-level movie. Carolyn, what did you think of The Flip Side?
I was really looking forward to seeing scenes of Adelaide, to be
honest. Yeah, you used to live there for a while.
Because I used to live there. Yeah. So I was fairly open to what the film would be like. And I like Eddie Izzard, but I just can't see him in this film.
Well, I sort of remember him more as a sort of a transvestite comedian and playing offbeat sort of parts
he
in some films.
He has done Serious. He was Prince Albert in Victoria and Abdul.
Yeah, I didn't realise that.
I don't know. There was just something about this film that just made me go, I can't believe your character. But having said that, it is a whimsy. It is an Australian comedy. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, they're not quite as quirky as New Zealand comedies, are they? But they're not as dry. But they are There's something about you can spot an Aussie comedy from a mile away. Lots of in humour. I think Australians might have found it a lot funnier.
Yeah, well, they lay it on a bit thicker at times. But the interesting thing about it, this is written and directed by a woman, Marion Pilofsky, and she's an Adelaide woman who then lived in lived and worked in London for about 20 years as in the movie industry,
mainly as a
producer and an executive levels and all this, and also wrote a few screenplays on the side. But this is the first film she's ever directed.
Yeah, and it must have been hard because she would have been wanting to show Adelaide off. And she does say that she was annoyed after going back for 20 years and finding the cultural differences and how Europeans and English tend to look down on Australians a little bit. I have no idea why they do that. Yeah, but anyway, so she decided she wanted to make a film that kind of showcased it and came up with this idea of these visitors from hell, but it's kind of like a rom-com as
so
well.
So what is the there's four basic people
there's
in
four
this.
People.
Who are they?
Yeah. So there's Ronnie and her partner, and she was in catering and she had a fling.
She lives in Adelaide.
She lives in Adelaide, yep. She's an Australian, and she had a fling a few years back with this English actor who's Eddie Izzard, and I can't remember the character's name, and they split. Not entirely on happy terms, but we don't, yeah. And then he comes back for a visit, and it's all about, and he brings his French girlfriend with him, who is very stereotypically French. and it's about them spending 4 days together, I guess, in Adelaide and looking at the lost opportunities and relationships and what you've got. And
Yeah, this is it. I mean, you have to sort of... I took the film essentially as a comedy.
Yes.
But as such, I don't know if it's such a wacky comedy, you don't quite know where it's going. But I think what happens is after I'd seen the film, I thought about it a little bit and then thought this film was also about sort of the intricacies of relationships, of ambition and of love and all this sort of a thing.
Yeah.
All these things are touched upon in the film. And if you see it as such, you know, there is quite a bit of thought-provoking depth.
There is a bit about, dealing with elderly parents, although she didn't seem particularly elderly, but you had elderly parents and that. I have to remember, I didn't like The Castle the first time round, and now it's one of my favourite Australian movies. So I really probably shouldn't bang Australian comedies that badly. Maybe I need to watch it again.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that this film grew partly out of a sense of dislocation that Marion Pilofsky had. She's the director of this film.
And screenwriter.
She also wrote the screenplay. She returned to Adelaide after 20 years working in London. And the film hinges on the disappointment and a woman's longing for the bright lights of back in London.
I didn't get all that
of this,
at all.
No, you know, but this is what she claims, you
oh,
know.
No.
That this is what she was missing in Adelaide.
Yeah, but I don't see that because she really does showcase Adelaide for all its best. It's filmed during November because the jacarandas are out and they are stunning at that time of year. It didn't show off the beaches to their particular stunningness.
Oh, but this at least it showed the jellyfish on the beaches.
It did, yep. And that's questionable as well. And going up into the into Handorf. Which is a very much a visitor's centre in Adelaide.
That's up in the hills there.
Yeah, one of the German villages up there, and going slightly into the outback, not terribly far into the outback. And, so it really does show off Adelaide at its best. It has at the beginning shots of the food markets and down in Rundle Mall and everything else, which was really lovely.
I mean, I got to quite like the main woman in the film. This is Ronnie.
Hold the film together.
She's certainly the central character, and she's certainly struggling there in Adelaide as a chef and restaurant owner and all this sort of thing. And then this former boyfriend comes back and stuff.
She did have her restaurant in a very pricey part of Adelaide.
Did she?
Yes, she she did. I do wonder if she... anyway, that's the whole having lived there thing. But the film itself, yeah, it's an Australian comedy.
Yeah, but she's played by Emily Tahini, and she's a comedian, actually.
Yeah.
And I had took her for most of the film as quite a... Yeah, I would have thought in her 20s, at late 20s or something like this. This is what I'd assumed she was. And then I wondered, what the hell has she been doing with Eddie Izzard? I mean, he'd be in his 50s at least. You know, what's going on here? But then it's only after checking this out afterwards I learnt that Emily Tahini is actually a 40-year-old
yeah, but
herself.
That's the actress.
The actress,
we don't know the age of the character. And we do get to see that Eddie does have a liking for younger women. So
yes.
She could have been playing someone much younger because her husband definitely appears to only be in his 30s.
Yes, that's true.
As well. And so I think she might have been an older actress playing a younger character.
Okay, thank you. That explains that to me.
Yeah. But I was looking forward to seeing Eddie really let loose or explore his character the full, and he just seemed like he's really constrained. I think he was on holiday.
In Adelaide. Okay. Oh, well, at least he got that out of it. No, so I'm still not open about this. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm not quite sure what I was looking at. I enjoyed it. I liked the characters.
Yes.
The film was funny at times. It tried to be funny with, you know, Aussie humour all the way through. And, fair enough. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, maybe a different cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next time. That was Carolyn Brown helping me with the flip side, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
I'm a 30-year-old actor earning £50 a week.
It used to be that it was my secret, my life, my profession. And what side of you am I going to present? Anything you could want from a human being, I found it working in the theatre particularly. I was able to just be.
In the documentary, Ian McKellen, playing the part, the distinguished English actor presents a 90-minute narration of his own stage and film career, also including his personal gay activism. Ian Cumming has been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo Shopping Mall to see this engrossing film. Ian, what did you think of Ian McKellen playing the part? The man and the film.
The man and the film. Well, let's talk about the film. It's an extremely well-crafted film and a celebration of this hugely talented man. It really is a fascinating insight into his life. And he asks very early on in the film, what side of Ian McKellen are we going to present? Well, he presents most things, but except very little of his private life.
Yeah. Oh, like, I can understand that. I mean, it was halfway through his life that he came out to the fact that he was gay, and then he got involved in gay activism and all that sort of thing. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to talk about his partners.
No, or show us around his kitchen or his bedroom or anything
like
that.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable because this film has been likened to sitting down and having a fireside chat with him yourself. You know, because he does all the talking in this film. And the remarkable thing is, when they made this, they filmed 14 hours of interview with him and then cut it down to 90 minutes. Good heavens, 40. I wonder what happened to the other 12 and a half hours of
exactly
talking.
Exactly right, yeah. Now, it's a very good blend of this archive footage in the archive photographs, and very good recreations of him as a young man, as a boy, I should say. In fact, played by Milo Parker, who was in the film with Mr. Holmes.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
But with the recreations, it's always Ian McKellen's voice. It's nobody else's voice. And indeed, he doesn't actually, though he talks about Maggie Smith and he talks about particularly Judy Dench, we don't hear clips from them.
Mm, yeah.
It's really just him and his wonderful voice, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, he's essentially has been all along the way. He's been a stage actor, a Shakespearean actor. He's known as such. And that's what he got his knighthood for, I would say. But then in more recent years, he's gone into the films as well, which nobody expected. And I can understand him playing Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff like that.
And X-Men.
Yeah, then he started to appear in the X-Men, you know, the Avengers movies, you know, which is quite amazing. He played Magneto in a couple of those, in the Marvel movies. And, you know, and even sort of popped up in things as Sherlock Holmes and in the Beauty and the Beast movie.
And then we go back just a wee bit, Gods and Monsters and The Dresser. And he got Oscar nominations for those.
Oh, yes,
he
didn't win any,
but McKellen, as you mentioned, goes from stage to film. And he talks about filming and he says, you can't forget the camera, but you know it's there and it's just another friend. Yeah. A lovely quote.
And at that point, he turns around slightly and winks at the camera, pointing close to his face.
It's a very moving at times when he talks about AIDS and his friends who had died. And then he had to come out, as you explained, and rail against Section 38 or 28, which Maggie Thatcher brought in, which was very repressive of homosexuals. But it's moving, but it's also amusing when he talks about his own funeral. He had an amusing evening deciding what he wanted to do for his own funeral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have this very poignant scene where he's just finished doing Waiting for Godot, and he goes backstage and he cries as he's going off stage because he thinks it's going to be his last performance. But, of course, it's not because he's actually done King Lear this year and we'll be seeing it at the Academy, you know, the National Theatre.
Oh, yes, one of those,
So he hasn't left the theatre yet.
I can't see him ever leaving. Actually, he'll always be coming back. I mean, there's other interesting touches. We even see him talking to Peter Jackson for a little while in the film. This is in connection with the Lord of the Rings movies.
I think he got a bit offside with his green screen thing.
There's these. But essentially, he comes across as a warm, unpretentious sort of a guy. And, you know, on one hand, on the other hand, you know that he'd be one of the most best-known English actors around these days, you know. But nevertheless, he's quite unpretentious, unassuming sort of a fellow in his own way.
It seems to be a really nice man.
Yeah. And I must say, it's also a really nice film.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Ian. That was Ian Cumming with his views on Ian McKellen playing the part. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.